Behind him came five Russians with long poles, lances in their stirrups, pennons on the poles, assault rifles across their backs. Alyanero dashed up on a horse and took position with them. A squad of Swedish soldiers rushed into view from the compound and presented arms. Workers were coming out of the compound. A big passenger plane came into the landing area, and 30 Tibetans on a pilgrimage to the compound spilled out and joined the mob. Two flatbeds roared up to the fringes, and about 40 people from the city just to the north tumbled off. Another flatbed tore up from the academy. Johnny, his horse walking dead slow behind Bitty McLeod, looked over this joyous mob. They were shouting and waving at him and cheering. He had never seen so many people since the gathering of Scotland. There must be 300 here. White hands, black hands with pink palms, yellow hands, blue jackets, orange dresses, gray coats, straight blonde hair, brown hair, fuzzy black hair, languages, 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 all saying,
"Hello, Johnny!"
He looked up apprehensively at the bright blue sky. For an instant, he was startled by a drone. No, it was a recon drone. They had a lot of them, constantly patrolling, watchful for any invader. The voices were a continuous roar. A woman was pushing something into his hand, a bouquet of wildflowers, and she was shouting,
"For Chrissy!"
He nodded to thank her and didn't know what to do with them, so he put them in his belt. The people of Earth, their hopes kindled, could rise and be alive again. He felt more guilty than ever. They didn't know he might have failed. Aside from not enjoying adulation, he also felt he certainly didn't deserve it. Not all this. Robert the Fox had worked his horse up beside him. He saw that Johnny was troubled. Robert didn't want the first day out spoiled.
"Wave to them a bit, laddie. Just raise your left hand and nod."
Johnny did, and the crowd went wild. They had been working their way up the hill toward the old Chinko quarters. There was the morgue over there. There was the dome behind which Turl used to have his quarters and where so often he had stood out the night. Johnny stared. There was Turl in a cage with a collar on. Turl was capering and leaping about. A vague unease took Johnny, and he persuaded the Scot boy to lead him over toward it.